they will count in the great by and by, and that's what we're looking forward to, the great by and by. That's where we're headed to, the great by and by. Well, we want to show our love, and we want to express our love as we travel along the way. And what a good song to sing. What a good song we sung about bringing in the sheaves. We need to be sowing and the gospel of Christ so that in the end of time, the sheaves can be brought in. I'm glad we get reports from the WVBS. They're so encouraging. We support Brother Bernard Kagega, and he hurried back home because in Kenya he had some gospel meetings waiting for him. And he said on the Facebook report that two congregations were restored. You know, they have to battle false teachers over there and people who bring in error just like we do here. And I'm glad he's able to work like that. And those people are so receptive to the truth, and we're thankful for that. But now in the WVBS, and we know where it thrills our heart. We want to help people like that. From Malawi, and I cannot pronounce the name of the town in Malawi, said, I would like to take this opportunity to express our sincere gratitude for the wonderful teaching on DVDs we received from WVBS. I'm here to report that six of our senior school students have obeyed the truth and have been baptized right away as a result of this unique Bible teaching, such as the truth about water baptism. And so they had viewed that DVD, and six souls, young people, were baptized. And we're thankful for that. That thrills our heart. People say the church is not growing. That's not true. From Nigeria, thanking you and considering us in this part of the world for these souls-changing materials. Thanks be to God Almighty for your kind help by helping us evangelize our community with well-tutored materials by experts of the Word of God. May God Almighty bless your efforts as you labor in the vineyard in Jesus' name. We pray the Almighty God will bless you and your teams bountifully in Jesus' name. From Oklahoma, from the prison facility in Holdenville, Oklahoma, thanks to your donated materials, it is reported that there are over 17 precious souls in Davis Correctional Facility requesting baptism. We have brethren in jail. We have brethren who are serving in prison, and we need to be mindful of them in our prayers as well. They really have a difficult time living the Christian life, worshiping with the Church of Christ there in those prisons in different places. So remember our brethren. There are 17 precious souls baptized there. We're thankful for that. From Ghana, I cannot pronounce the name of that place, but it says, I'm very glad to send you this email. The purpose of this email is to let you know that by the grace of God, we had two baptisms today in the new church that we just established. Thank you very much for the materials you send to us. It is helping us a lot. And then one from Kenya. It is with great pleasure that we give thanks to you for this report. Three people were baptized who are the beneficiaries of the WVBS. The church here is happy for the work you are doing for the Lord's church. We pray that God will enable you to reach more souls through this material. And to this, for this year to date, there are 2,277 baptisms, 898 restorations, and we're very thankful to be a part of a good work like that. So just keep up your giving. When we give, money is sent to WVBS for these great causes, this great cause. So it's good to be with you tonight. We had an excellent morning this morning. We had visitors. Keep praying for visitors. And we had visitors this morning. We're thankful for them. Tonight we're going to study about the 144,000. And I like studying so much in the book of Revelation, especially the heavenly scenes. One day we're going to be there. That's why I like to study about heaven. I like to see what's going on there. Because we're going to be there one of these days. And we've been studying Revelation 4, the throne of God in heaven. We studied this morning Revelation 5, and the throne, Jesus is sitting in the midst of that throne. And he opened that book that had the seven seals. And we were reading about those seven seals this morning. I'd like to review a little bit on the seven seals in chapter 6 tonight. It seems to be a dispensation of time revealed there in Revelation 6 as he opened those seals. And our brethren were suffering, as we see as those seals are opened. The gospel went forth on the white horse, and the black horse followed with the red horse, then the black horse, then the pale horse, and things, troubling times were happening. Chapter 6, verse 1, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him." So he had a crown. He was on a white horse. That's a horse that's representing purity, and that crown is someone who rules, isn't it? "And he went forth conquering and to conquer." Jesus Christ is the great King. He came to conquer the forces of evil, and I believe that white horse represents Christ and the gospel. "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." And so there was people who were dying. We were studying 2 Timothy this morning, and in that fourth chapter, Paul says, "The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me on that day, and not to me only, but to all them that have loved his appearing." And so Paul was about to die. People died in the New Testament time. Stephen died. Stephen was stoned to death. And there was a great persecution that resulted from that. Stephen was stoned to death in Acts chapter 7, Acts chapter 8. A great persecution came upon the church, and that was because of the preaching of the gospel. That persecution came because of the gospel. And so they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. And so we read about that great persecution. "And when he had opened the third seal," verse 5, "I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand." Now, in these balances, food items. "I heard his voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and a measure of barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine.'" Now, remember that. The food's going to be affected. Peace is taken from the earth. And this rider on the red horse had a sword in his hand. A black horse was indicating some starvation. And remember that as we read in chapter 7. "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death." We know what that is, don't we? Death. "And hell followed with him." And so that's the realm of the dead. Dead people were being killed, and they were going into death. "And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword and with hunger." So that black horse, they were dying of hunger and with death and with beast of the earth. You know, in prison now, you get these nice meals on a tray. That wasn't true back in those ancient times. You didn't get those fine meals. You might get one, you might not. "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar." Now we're going through a kind of a dispensation of time here. "And so under that fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain." It goes back to that red horse and that black horse and that pale horse. They were slain. That were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. They're holding the same testimony we're holding. We're holding to the testimony of Jesus Christ. And they were slain for that. "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? When are you going to judge these people? When are these people going to have to pay for what they're doing to our women, to our men, to our children? When are they going to pay for this? And you know, tradition says that the Apostle Paul was beheaded. And that's gruesome. That's a gruesome death. And these souls were under the altar. And this is a great vision. And they were there under the altar of God. Isn't that great? That was wonderful. But they're wondering what the Christians that remained on the earth were wondering. What's going on here? What are you going to do about this, Lord? And I love this. And white robes were given unto every one of them. You know what was given to them? White robes. That's what the Bible says we're going to have when we get into heaven. And it was said unto them that they should rest. Revelation 14:13 says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Yea, from henceforth, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. And so they were given white robes. And they were told to rest yet for a little season until. And so there was a time frame the Lord was dealing with there. Their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Killing Christians not over with yet. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. And so God says, y'all rest for a little while. I'm going to deal with these folks. And I opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. You read about this in the Acts chapter 2, this same kind of terminology. This is talking about a great judgment day of God, a black day, a terrible day. An awesome day where God's wrath is going to be poured out upon his enemies. And the moon became his blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And so the fig tree still had the figs on there, and the figs weren't ready to fall off, but they're going to fall like shaken with a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. God says, I'm going to bring a great day of judgment. And I'm going to deal with these folks. And the king of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bond man and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains and said of the mountains and rocks, fall on us. Well, you can't really talk to rocks, can you? You can't really tell rocks what to do. But there's the terror, the horror of those who had been so cruel to Christians. They wanted to hide from God. Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. We don't want to face the wrath of the Lamb. Oh, there's a great day coming. We sing about that in the song. There's a great day coming. It's the day of judgment. And those who have lived wickedly and those who have rebelled against the Lord. And I was thinking just the other day, might have been yesterday, the day before, I was thinking of two brothers in Christ who were once very, very faithful to the Lord, but have fallen away and won't listen to anybody, won't listen to anything about coming back. I just dread for them that day. I dread for them. What a horrible thing it's going to be. They've been associated with the church all their life. And they're going to go to judgment day and they're going to face the great God in heaven that they rejected and they've turned their back on. I just fear for them. Why don't they turn around? Why don't they change their lives? It's just going to be a bad day for them. And so, the Bible says that. Verse 17, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I'm in remembrance of that great passage of 2 Thessalonians 1, beginning in verse 7. To you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, And then it says those mighty angels are coming. But then the Bible says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction and from the presence of the Lord. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be an awesome day. It's going to be a glad day for us. And it's going to be a terror day, a terrible day for those who are not Christians. Those are the words of the Bible. And somebody says, well, don't preach on that hell. You'll scare somebody. Well, I hope it does scare somebody. Have you ever had your mama, your daddy say, if you do that one more time, I'm going to wear you out? That was said to cause a person to not do the wrong. When God says the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, when the heavens and the earth shall pass away with a great noise, and the earth and the elements therein shall be melted with a fervent heat, in view of this, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation? We are to be holy people in view of that. We are to live the right way, and so a great day is coming. That's what these seals are opening up, the information about what God has in store and God has in plan. Yes, the gospel went forth. Yes, there's a red horse, a black horse, a pale horse, but there's also that sixth seal of the coming day of the Lord. And under that sixth seal, it's going to be a day of terror for those who oppose God and those who are enemies of God. And let's remember that God does have enemies. James 4:4 says, whosoever makes himself a friend of the world has caused himself to become an enemy with Christ. I don't want to be an enemy of Christ. I don't want to be unprepared. You know, the parable of the virgins, there were five who were prepared and there were five who were not. Don't be unprepared for that day. You remember what happened to the five virgins that were unprepared? The door was shut. We read in Revelation 4 of a door opened. But when the day of the Lord comes and the judgment day comes, there's going to be a shut door for those who are not ready and prepared. And we know God loves us. Any parent says, you do that one more time, I'm going to wear you out. That's a parent that loves that child. That's a parent that wants that child to do the right thing. And so we have these very frightening words here, very frightening. They should frighten us. We should have a fear of God. Fear of God is pure, it's clean, it's good. But now let's get down to chapter 7. Now this is still under the sixth seal, so remember that. We're still under the sixth seal, so that's the wicked people. What about the souls under the altar? What about the rest of the people who are dying? Well, after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. Now, the earth doesn't have four corners, does it? So that's, you know, the book of Revelation is full of symbols. It's full of symbols. So it doesn't have four corners. It has four directions, doesn't it? It has north and south and east and west. But here's the point about that. Holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Listen, heaven's in control. God and his angels are in control of everything. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, now those four angels were holding those four winds. They were going to hurt the earth. That's what this says right here. They were going to hurt the earth. But this other angel that had the seal of God in his hand, he said this, saying, hurt not the earth. Did you see what we just read in the previous chapter? They were going to hurt the earth. He says, don't hurt the earth. Neither the sea nor the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now, a lot of discussion about what that seal is and what that seal is for and what it would mean and what it would do. But seal them in their foreheads. Some sort of mark, some sort of identification Notice in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19, I think this is a very beautiful verse and has bearing on what we're reading about now. 2 Timothy 2 and 19 says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." I mean, you can depend on it. Having this seal, what's that seal about? What's that seal talking about? Well, that seal is about this. The Lord knoweth them that are His. God knows. And so when we're in Christ, God knows when we got into Christ. He knows when we're baptized into Him. We have this seal. You know, the Bible says in Acts 2:47, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." He knows who's in the church and He knows who's out of the church. "And everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." That's how you get the white robe, is you depart from iniquity. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work." And so that seal seems to indicate God's identifying mark. And so we're glad that God identifies His people. Wish we had time to go on over to 2 Peter, but anyway, 2 Peter chapter 2, God knows how to save the righteous and He knows how to destroy the wicked. God knows how to make a determination between who needs to be destroyed and who does not. On the day of judgment, no one who's supposed to be saved will be lost. And no one who is supposed to be lost will be saved. God knows every single person. And He knows that He's so just and so perfect that He won't make a mistake. He won't make a mistake. And so I believe this gives us assurance that God's not going to make a mistake. Verse 4 of Revelation 7 says, "And I heard the number of them that were sealed." Well, that's great, isn't it? "And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." Do you know there are two Israels? There is physical Israel that we read about in the Old Testament. But there's another Israel. It's spiritual Israel. And we're part of that spiritual Israel. Look over here to Romans chapter 2. And I want to read this with you so that we can understand that. When the Bible's talking about the nation of Israel, He's not always talking about physical Israel. Watch this. Verse 25 of Romans 2 says, "For circumcision," and that's what the nation of Israel was identified by. They were identified by circumcision. And so if you were a Jew, you were a male child, you would be circumcised. "For circumcision verily, verily profiteth." It's only profitable under certain conditions. "If thou keep the law." Circumcision won't do you any good if you're not keeping the law of God. "But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision." It's voided out. It doesn't count any longer. You're not the Israel of God if you don't keep the law of God. You can't be that. You can't just have this physical marking without the spiritual marking. "Therefore, if the uncircumcision," that's Gentiles, "keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision?" And so the obedient ones are the ones that counts to God. "And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law?" And so Romans chapter 2 is about the Jews. They were transgressing the law. And they were in sin as well. Watch verse 28. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And so there's a spiritual nation of God. So in Revelation chapter 7, when he's talking about the tribes of the children of Israel, and by the way, that 144,000, here's how you get that number, 144,000. You take 12, you multiply it by 12, and then by 1,000. And that gives you 144,000. Now, the 12 and the 12, the 24 elders found back in Revelation chapter 4, would represent the people who are redeemed from Old Testament and New Testament. The 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles, the 12 and the 12, there's where the two 12s come from. These are all symbolic numbers, and not ever believed to be exact numbers of something. You know, Jehovah's Witnesses believe that the 144,000 represent everybody that's ever going to get into heaven, and heaven's already full, so there's nobody else can ever get into heaven. That's what they believe, that that's an exact number, and that's the exact number of the people in heaven, and heaven is filled up, and nobody else can get in. That's weird, isn't it? And so the 144,000 are representing, I believe, the same thing as 24 elders are in Revelation chapter 4, and that's all the redeemed. And you know it's not talking about literal Israel, because there's two tribes left out. It's the tribe of Ephraim. We're going to read these tribes here. And the tribe of Dan is left out. The tribe of Levi, I don't believe, is in here as well. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh, that's one of the sons of Joseph, were sealed 12,000. But the other son of Joseph is not mentioned, Ephraim. And of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe, Levi's in there, I'm sorry. It's Dan and Ephraim that are left out. Were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Look, now he even mentions Joseph, which indicates he's not actually talking about that Israel of the Old Testament. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. And so that is only representative. And I believe the rest of this chapter identifies who these 144,000 are. And after this, behold, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations. We were just reading here a moment ago from Malawi, Nigeria, Holdenville, Oklahoma, Guyana, and Kenya. And by the way, there are something like 140 nations that they're sending material into, beheld and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations. Beloved, we can just start naming the nations right now, and there's churches in those nations. There's even churches in Cuba. There are churches in Cuba. There's churches in Canada. There's churches in the islands of the Caribbean. There's churches in the islands of the Pacific. There's churches throughout Malaysia, Japan, and Asia, and Russia, and all through Africa, and kindreds of people. Look at that, of all nations and kindreds of people. Kindreds of people. The people in this world are kinfolks. We all came from Adam and Eve, and then we all came from Noah and his family. Of all kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb. Where are they? They're before the throne and they're before the Lamb. Where's the Lamb? Where's the throne? Revelation 4, Revelation 5, the door of heaven was opened. There's where they are. They're in heaven. Where's this great number of people? They're standing before the throne of the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. They're standing. They've been saved. They've been redeemed. They're in heaven. People can get to heaven. They have palms in their hands showing victory, victory. And we, of course, are looking for that victory. Faith is a victory that overcomes the world. 1 John 5 and verse number 4. And so that shows the victory. And then notice what they were saying there. They cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb." Isn't that beautiful? I love reading about the scenes in heaven. They're there with white robes. How beautiful those appear in our minds and our imaginations. And they have those palms in their hands. They've had the victory. They're standing before the throne. It is possible to be saved. Those people during that time of tribulation were wondering, what's going on? We're getting killed. We're getting thrown to the lions. We're being burned at the stake. What's going on? Well, and all the angels stood round about the throne. The redeemed are going to be there with the angels, the heavenly host. And about the elders and the four beasts, those beautiful cherubim and seraphim, fell before the throne and on their faces and worshiped God. That's what we're doing today. We're worshiping God now. We're going to do that in heaven. Isn't that beautiful? I love reading these passages. And notice they were saying, "Amen." Amen, amen means so be it. So be it. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might. There's the seven. There's those seven words again. Be unto our God forever and ever. And so in heaven there's no trouble. There's no hate in heaven. There's no bitterness in heaven. We need to get rid of all our hate. We need to get rid of all of our bitterness. We need to get rid of that. Because it's simply not going to be allowed in heaven. People of all nations, of all kindreds, of all tongues, everybody's going to be there. We're going to be there with the angels. I don't hate an angel, do you? We don't need to hate anybody. We don't hate anyone. If you got any racial prejudice in your heart, get rid of it. Get rid of it. It has no place in the child of God. And so they were giving and ascribing unto God great honor and great praise. And one of the elders, you know, there were 24 elders, one of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in the white robes?" Not the angels. We're not talking about the angels. We're not talking about the heavenly beast or the heavenly creatures. We're not talking about them. We're not talking about the one on the thrones, the two on the thrones. But what about these who are arrayed in the white robes? Where are they from? Whence came they? Who are they? John? And John said, and I said unto him, "Sir," look at the respect that John has. Look how would they respect one another in that heavenly place. "Sir, thou knowest." And he said unto me, those white-robed people with the palms in their hands, here's who they are. These are they which came out of the great tribulation. What's happened to our brethren? They've been thrown into the lions' dens. They've been burned at the stake. Where are they? Where are they? What's happened to them? These are they. Here they are. They're all right. They're safe. They're good. They washed their robes. They've come out of the great tribulation. These are they which have come out of the great tribulation. Now I'm told that this is in the present tense. And not only they that have come out of the great tribulation, but in that Greek tense, they're still coming out. They're still coming out. There's no end. We haven't ended yet at the writing of this. And so these that have come out of the great tribulation, and they keep coming out, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are Christians. These are the ones that are being destroyed. That red horse that went out with the sword, that red horse and that people who are starving and people who are being destroyed, here they are. They're before the throne. Verse 15, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. Now somebody says, no, wait a minute, there's no night in heaven. You're right. There is no night in heaven. This shows this. How are you going to express continual? Continual. What would best express continuation, ongoing? Well, when they say day and night. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. That's what Revelation 21 is talking about. God shall be with them. And they will be with God. And He will dry every tear from their eyes. You know, the Bible keeps saying that over and over, doesn't it? And shall dwell with them. And watch this. Remember the black horse? Verse 16, and they shall hunger no more. That black horse, that famine, that starvation, they shall hunger no more. Those people in jail, they might get fed, they might not. They may be starving to death in those stocks, letting them sit there in filth. They will hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. Sitting in them old jails, don't have a drink of water, calling out for water, don't have any. They'll thirst no more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. Old John was banished to the Isle of Patmos. He had no home. He had no shelter. He just banished out there on this desolate island. And so they'll not have to suffer that any longer. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. I love this. I love reading this. Shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's the 144,000. That's all the redeemed of the earth. We're going there. We're headed there. We're moving in that direction. And I'll tell you, this passage here, if it doesn't encourage you, and if it doesn't cause you to say, look, I'm going to determine, I'm never going to turn my back on God. I can't miss this. I can't be one of those people who, when the judgment day comes, I just want to hide from God. I just want to hide from Him because I know His terror. Remember that parable of the talents, 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent? That 1 talent man said, I knew you. I knew you were a hard man. I knew you reaped where you sowed not, so forth and so on. He already knew that. We know about God, and let this great passage be an encouragement to you. And those verses that we read in the last half of this chapter, white robes, palms in their hands, standing around the throne of God, washed in the blood of Christ. We don't have to suffer any longer. And I think it's a great message for those who are sick and those who have suffered in this life through sickness. I think about old Lazarus who was starving. He was begging for the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. He just wanted, can you imagine sweeping your kitchen? You've had a meal there and the food falls off the tables and falls down on the ground. And then you sweep up the crumbs into a dustpan. You got dirt and you got crumbs and you got little tidbits in there. That's what Lazarus was asking for. Can you give me that? He was begging for the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Can you give me that? Well, it's dirty. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I need something to eat. And evidently the rich man wouldn't even give him that. But then the Bible says they'll hunger no more. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that beautiful? There are people who are starving in our world today. And we're glad to know that we can move toward a place where there won't be any more of that. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. The scenes of heaven are just beautiful as we read about Revelation 4 and Revelation 5, and we read about Revelation 7, Revelation 21, 22. It's beautiful. We should love this great and wonderful book. Well, we want to go through this book because we want to know it. We want to know the great messages there, the great encouragement that we received. And I'm glad you're here, and I commend you for being here tonight. You're putting your soul you value your soul by being here tonight. And so let's not be caught on that day of judgment when the Lord comes with his wrath and the moon turns to blood and the sun turns to sackcloth and it turns black, and it's just going to be a horrible, horrible, horrible day for those who are lost. Don't be that. Don't be caught in that way on the day of judgment. You may need to come forward tonight. If you do, we want to welcome you to come forward here tonight, be restored to the Lord, or to put the Lord on in baptism. You know, the Lord knows those are his. He knows if you've been baptized or not. And so if you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, now's the time to do it. Now's the time to act. Repent, confess Christ, be baptized for the remission of your sins, be added to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the Bible says in Colossians 1 and verse 14, be washed in his blood and cleansed by the blood of Christ as you obey his command to be baptized and live faithfully for him. If you need to come, please do as we stand and sing.